Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to another episode of Jesus Plus Therapy Sis Podcast. This week's community partners are the Healing Lounge LLC and Beauty Junkie. Be sure to follow them on all social media platforms. And don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, and hit that notification bell so you can be notified of new episodes of Jesus Plus Therapy Sis Podcast.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Jesus Plus Therapy Sis. Y'all a little tongue-tied, and I'm not even tired. But listen, y'all, we had so much fun. I hope y'all are ready for this next level mentality we got to give y'all. We had an awesome photo shoot on this past weekend, and it was definitely fun having that photo shoot and being together. I don't think we've done that in a while. So it was definitely fun. You can go on our Facebook page. We did a little live because somebody had some lashes. And she batted them lashes for y'all, okay? Batted them lashes for y'all. Y'all was going to get all them lashes and all that glow. The baby, kiss by the sun is all I can say.
Hallelujah.
She was beautiful. We've got so many comments on our pictures and messages. And y'all, she made me cry. Nigga.
I didn't.
Yeah, she did. It's heartfelt message that you done had. Then people talk about it's a jewel and just, oh my gosh, you're so awesome when you want to be.
I tried.
sober chick, sober theologist. You the upgrade, sober theologist. So what's going on? What are we talking about tonight?
So we pick it up from last week's episode, but we're going to call this something else. I don't know the title yet. But I did so if you tuned in last week, you heard us talking about whether to approach or to not approach and to allow the man to come to you. And so I just really felt like, I guess I'm old school in that way. I allow the man to approach me before, I guess make myself available. I am not jumping in the DMs. I am not, being all up in his face on his nuts.
We are PG-13.
It swam out my mouth. Listen, let me.
It swam out your mouth.
It did. It just floated right out there.
Yes, like those are not good words to put together after you use that word.
We record at night. Listen.
We keep out a disclaimer. We record at night. Listen, then she gonna sip a tea, y'all. Let me give y'all commentary what she doing and she didn't make this comment.
Anyway,
come on.
So I did a story. And if any of you follow me on social media, then you know that I did a story this past week. Just polled it to see if women are out there jumping in the DMs, if they're approaching men. And I found that the people who were responding were not jumping in DMs, sis.
And I told her that they were pumped. That's what I said. They pumped. Listen, I ain't saying you got to be all up in his, you know what. I'm saying make your imprint. Imprint means, hey, how are you? Like, I see you doing some great things and da-da-da. Conversation. Y'all be getting mad at these people who met on Twitter and who met on Instagram and now they married and got 4-5 kids, and you wondering, like, what happened? What I need to put in? Like, what I need to say? Did I put something different in my portfolio? Y'all up here liking the picture, wondering what you're doing wrong. But I'm like, dude, all she did was say, hey, she made her interest known. Yes, she allowed him to come to her, but she made space. And that's the thing. In order to make a man feel safe, you got to make way. I'm not saying that you got to be in a place where you all up in his grill. Don't be all in his grill. Hey, Tonsa, can you pay my bills? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you need to be in a place that you're giving him the space to pursue you. And he can't read minds. He can't just see you and be like, oh, I'm studying her. And yes, a man knows who you are. A confident man knows who you are. He knows if you're the side chick. He knows if you're the wifey. And he knows if you're the wife. Wifey and wife are two different people. A wifey and a wife are two. Let me emphasize. A wifey and a wife are two different people. And I had to learn that. But he knows who you are, a confident man. And he's not going to be intimidated because you said something. So, yes, I said they was punks. And y'all can come at me. Hashtag me. No, honestly, I'm not saying that you punk, but I do think there's a sense of confidence you have to have. Let me say this. As me being almost some years old, going into a whole nother decade, I am not waiting for someone to notice me. I'm going to give him the space to notice me, but I'm going to say what I need to say. And I'm not going to be aggressive with it. I'm not going to be like, what up? You don't like me or nothing? No, I'm going to be consistent, but I'm not going to be in your DMs. I'm not going to be liking all your pictures. I'm not in your DM and like, ooh, you ain't texting me back, you ain't message me. Because I realized that didn't work either. And I've done both. But I have made it like I slide into a dude's DM that I like. And be like, hey, you know, I really think you're cute. And I'd like to get to know you better. Now, if he don't say nothing back, then fine. Move on to the next. But at least I made my intentions out there. And I've given him the space to respond and return the ball back. I put the ball back in his corner. And I still did not take away his masculinity. I didn't make him feel less of a man. I didn't make me look more masculine than him. So, what else?
Well, I just firmly believe that the male is the hunter. And I give them space and opportunity to hunt. That's just me. I just never have been one to approach a man. If a man like me, he came to me. And of course, if you throw me the ball, I'm an alley-oop it. But I'm just not out here about to slide in DMs. Now, if you throw me the ball, meaning if you have, say for instance, you have a story and what you post it is something that catches my attention, you threw me the ball. So I'm going to come to the thing like, this is my perspective on this. And maybe we could have emotional, intelligent conversation, thought-provoking.
Slide in his DM.
But and, that's and, different. That's different than me.
No, just it's not. It's oh just a God, different thing. You just know.
And the I want to be on the tip of your
right, but no, no. But that's the thing. It's just you just did it at a different angle. You look for an open opportunity. You created a conversation, but you that's still funny. Slid into his DM because but all you did is respond to a story.
You're right, but I think it's a different angle than me coming off direct. Like that, I think you're more using the direct approach.
I can do either or, but I just know that I'm not gonna sit here. And if I feel like it, waiting for me to be seen, because I know that there are times where if that man is very attractive, he has different women coming after him all the time, exactly. And so there has to. But here's the thing. There's something unique. I have to realize my uniqueness.
And my uniqueness is my ability to fall back. Because other women be all up in his face. No, and I'm not.
Okay, but it's a difference. I'm not going to be his... Again, I said I wasn't going to be in his grill. I didn't say it's gonna be you.
I'm sorry.
Let's do this.
Come on. So if you meet a young, or you come into contact with a guy, he's very handsome. He's attractive. He has a nice situation going on for himself.
Okay.
And you know that he has fans. Mm-hmm. Okay. And all of his fans are usually in his DMs.
Okay.
Everywhere he go, people in his face. Everywhere you go, people know him. Like, I just, how do you handle that situation? Because
I'm not attracted to a man who has that much attention, because then it causes him to feel like he can have anybody. And I guess it's me. Like, I have a type of man. And I know what type of man I'm willing to, even though he may be attractive, he may not know. I know several men who are very attractive. And when I actually approach them, they didn't think that they were attractive, but they had a fan base. They didn't even know they had a fan base. So I think I'm not going to approach the man who got the women and who are entertaining that fan base, right? Like, that's just not me. The men that I approach, I know, like, I know people are interested, but I'm not bold enough to say anything, and I'm just bold enough to say something. But they don't even know that they have a fan base. They don't even see themselves in that type of space. And I guess it's the type of man you like. I guess that's the it.
That's true. So
I think that's the difference. Why I'm bold enough to be like, hey, I think you're cute, because I'm not to say dudes I attract is ugly. I don't attract some fine dudes, but just the simple fact of the matter is those dudes who are very attracted to a number of women don't even see themselves in that space. They just see themselves really humble, really chill, really, you know. Hey, what's up? Like, that's how they see themselves. So I guess that's the reason why.
Yes, and I can agree with that, but I'm not attracted to
Please keep this PG-13. Your face is
something else.
Oh my God. Help us, Lord.
I am attracted to a certain type, but really I don't have a type. That don't make no sense, but it makes perfect sense.
But that's a lie. You do have a type. And I can say it. I can say you have a type. And
if you say that I have a type, then I would go with the same, let's just take, I guess, physical out of it.
I'm taking physical out of it. You still have a type.
Okay, whatever, Sean. For the sake of this.
Okay, my therapist ad knows that you have a type, but go ahead.
Okay, so for the sake of this, I'll say I don't necessarily have a physical type, or I'm trying to get out of the having a physical type. I'm trying to look more inwardly. Let me just say that.
The struggle in that statement alone, baby.
I'm trying to be more discerning. I'm trying to be more discerning. But I don't necessarily, you got to be attracted to me. Okay. Let me just put that out there. You have to be attracted to me. If you're attracted to me, then that's all that matters. But I don't think I have a type, because as long as you're attracted to me, you could be yellow, green, blue.
Why you lying to these people?
No.
Why'd you lie to these people? I'm about to put you on blast.
Type in the chat so I can understand where you're coming from, then I can confirm or deny. But do not get on these interwebs and try to show out.
Say exactly what you said again. What you said again?
They could be yellow, green, or blue.
Okay.
What's wrong with that?
Say what.
No. We definitely not doing that.
But you said Logan, he attracted to you, right?
But he not attracted to me though.
So that's not attracted to you.
He is attracted to me. I'm not attracted to him.
But you said that the person had to be attracted to you first.
No, I said when I say attracted to me, I mean, I have to find him sexy, fine.
Oh, no, babe, you need to restate that then. That's what I said.
That's what I mean when I say he has to be
attractive. Because when you say he has to be attractive to me, it's meaning that he has to be attracted. His attraction should be towards you. Mm-hmm. And you have to be attracted to him. That's what you're saying. You must be attracted to him.
Yeah, I mean, like, I have to think that he's sexy.
Right, because I was about to say, baby, you said if he's attracted to you. So I'm like, baby.
Let me be all the way transparent. It's a lot of people that are attracted to me.
Right. So that's why I said that again, because I don't think you're hearing what you're saying. Because you say he can be red, white. I'm like, wait, that's not true. This is a lie.
In these comments over here, and I like to have a whole come up on.
Let me say it like this.
He has to be fine to me. He has to be handsome to me.
Right.
And I just
say that.
Oh Lord Jesus. Anyway, like most of the guys that I find handsome, let me just throw that out there, that I'm actually giving the good eye to.
I want you to stop there. But these posts,
they tend to have a lot of fans. They do. They have a lot of groupies. They have a lot of we're not on the phone. So, you know, they just have a lot of fans. And so for me, I found that if I fall back, they come to me. I don't have to do nothing extra. I don't have to, you know, be all up in their face. But I found that if I just lay low and do something different than what the crowd is doing, I find that they come to me. I don't have to do anything, you know.
Well, I think it's the dudes that you attract. So for me, I'm the total opposite. The dude doesn't even know that he has a crowd or he has a fan base. Mm. And I think that's the difference between me and you, is you kind of like the dudes with the fan base. Like, because, and here's what I've noticed. Men are attracted to women who men are attracted to. Just like women are attracted to men who other women are attracted to.
That's good. That's a good point.
So with that being said, you'll never be attracted to something somebody else is not attracted to. Let me give you a great example. Say you broke up. Oh, say you ain't had no man. And a man shows you interest and he start calling you and talking to you. Ain't this crazy that other men start calling and talking to you that you've been trying to holler at but wouldn't give you the time of day? Mm-hmm. And it's because there's a sense of there's a man that is attracted to you. So now they become attracted to you. And vice versa for men. There are women, you may be single, minding your business, talk to this female. And that female, literally, y'all are just having genuine conversations. And then all of a sudden, you got all these females in your inbox or DM or whatever attracted to you or having conversations with you all of a sudden. People are attracted to what another person is attracted to. So,
you hear that a lot, even with married men.
Yeah. So that's why married men look so attractive to single women, but even other married women. Because it's it's something different, right? A swag is different. And it's vice versa for married women. You out with your girlfriends, you married, and now you getting all the attraction. Now you got a whole ring on your finger, but you the first one they come to. Now all these single sisters, and they you the first one they come to, right? Because there's a swag about you. There's an aura about you that says, I'm not available. And men, going back to hunters, right? Men desire what they can't have. A hunter always hunts for something they can't, they may or may not get.
That's a Selah moment. And so, yeah, I had women reply to the story and just kind of was like, no, they ain't approaching. He got to approach them first. And I definitely agree with that. I mean, I guess because I've never had to approach a guy in that way. And I've learned how to fall back and wait for him to come to me.
How old were these women? I have to know. You know, I have to know even
better. One was in their mid to late 40s. Well, a couple of them were in their mid to late 40s. One
ever been married?
One has, one hadn't.
Okay.
The other lady was in her late 50s. Mm-hmm. Maybe early to late 50s. Not sure. I believe she has been married before. And then, of course, it was one that was my age who said, oh no, baby, they got to come to me.
So I wonder, these women who are saying no, has rejection damaged them so that they're not willing to take that risk?
Maybe.
And so I say that, and I say that as a divorcee who has been rejected multiple times. If I can name how many boyfriends who are now married because they had a good woman. Sorry. Let me sidebar. I said good woman. You thank you. I need you to come on back. A good woman like me, come on back. Just because you didn't start it so dumb. I'm not coming with you. I'm not joining down the river with you, okay? No, but seriously. No. I wonder how vividly, and this is my therapy to mind, how much rejection has played a part in their mindset to not approach. And what that looks like for them, because, and I say that because I remember talking to a client and they were just like, they never wanted to take a risk because they were fearful of the rejection or the consequences that would come behind it. Mm. And I said, man, we have seen rejection in such a negative light, we have not even allowed it to grow us. And so a lot of times people, you know, we hear people say, well, I don't want to do it because I fear rejection, or I don't want to hear no. We have feared no and rejection so much so that it's paralyzed us into a fear of not growing in areas that we should be soaring in. And I'm not just saying this in relationship. I'm saying this in building the confidence of your authority. Here's the thing I see when approaching a dude, right? So discernment goes into play. I'm able to approach a person in their DMs because I discern, not that I would get rejected or not, but I discern that I really want to just make myself available to them. And 9 times out of 10, it works. It may not turn out to be a relationship, but it may just be a cool friend that I have that I learned from in that season. I cannot even fathom how many men that I've like been in a DM and we end up becoming friends, or I become an asset to them, or they become an asset to me, all because I say hello. It may have not turned into something romantic. It may be straight up platonic. And I'm good with that. And I think a lot of times we automatically, as women, see that moment of DM. Even though there's an attraction, we expect it to turn out something romantic. And when it doesn't, we feel a sense of rejection instead of looking at what that moment really brought out of us and how we grew from that moment. And I think that's the thing that keeps us, some of us, in this place of singleness. Period. Don't roll your eyes at me.
I ain't there yet.
Get your life.
I ain't there yet. Because, and I, like I've said this, I said this on the previous episode, well, on last week's episode, that I still have my issues with rejection. Like, don't reject me, fam. Don't. And so it could be, like I said last week, it could be areas in my life where I still have the residue of being rejected from any other areas of my life. And so with those women, it may very well be rejection that doesn't allow them to take the risk. And I'm just not that risky in that area. One thing I'm not going to do is be all up in somebody's face. That's just not me.
So I'm going to say this. I hadn't always been here. Because I, if you would have talked to me 5 years ago, I would say, hell, I mean, heck no. Yeah, you almost. I would have said no. I would have said no to the no. So I would have said it. I would have said no. And I would have said, I can't. And with that being said, I want you, I think it's hard for us to understand how the healing of rejection takes place, and how it can be so prevalent to how we move in our next relationship.
Oh, so that's a good segue. How do you heal rejection? You better not say by taking no risk, because I'm going to punch you in the face. If you say that, I know something. Is that how you hear rejection?
Yes, ma'am. So I made this comment to a client. I said, if you are fearful about being broken, then you ain't trying to heal. Because there are times in our lives where the doctor says, oh, your leg broke, and then they break it again in order for it to heal properly. So for you, rejection is nothing but another level of brokenness at a traumatic state.
Hey, what now?
Rejection is nothing but another level of brokenness at a traumatic state.
Make that make sense.
Rejection is nothing but brokenness that wasn't broken properly.
Gotcha.
So therefore, it didn't heal properly. So therefore, it caused fear, frustration, anger, rejection of rejection. Right? So now I move from being the rejectee to being the rejector. And I see no as a defense mechanism instead of a whole thing.
Okay. So are you saying that I say no as a defense mechanism?
Correct.
Give me it. No, do I want to skirt out there like that? No, I don't think I want to skirt out there. No, because I don't know who listens to this podcast and I ain't got time for that. Okay. Anyway,
Oh my goodness. My goodness. I'm so sorry.
Give me a real world example of what it looks like to not using me or you. What it looks like for your no to be a defense mechanism.
Peter is a great example.
Okay.
When Jesus says he's on his way to the cross and he says, no, you're not going to go. I'm not going to let you. He was defending Jesus. It was a defense mechanism so that he wouldn't endure the loss of Jesus. But then Jesus responded, Satan, get behind me.
Because get he knew, behind me. That's because what he said.
Yes, because he knew that Peter was now in defense and no was not a whole sentence. It wasn't a no, oh my gosh, you have to do it, but no, I don't want to lose you. It was a no, you ain't going to do what you supposed to do in the first place. Look at her face. If y'all can see her face. I can't wait till we do this live on video. Listen.
I am not interested in this live. Anyway, because that's wrecking my thought process. Because okay. If... Oh, God. If...
My God.
If that's the case, if that's the case, then no, because if that's the case, then that means I'll be out here just missing opportunities to be great.
That sounds like something I done already said before, but go ahead.
It ain't. No, it ain't.
Okay. Okay.
Even if we just make it what it is, I am working on the rejection piece, but I still don't believe that I will ever, and Lord, let me knock on wood, I don't think I'll approach a man. I just don't.
Let me tell you something. Ruth opposed Boaz. You know what somebody told me? I had a whole conversation. Y'all, this is deep to me. I don't even know who I had the conversation with. Oh, my God. Oh, it was a colleague. And we was talking about us being single. Mm-hmm. And she said, Shandrika, you know, we always talk about Ruth and Boaz. But do people not know what Ruth did?
And she laid at his feet.
Think about that.
I hope the helper laid at his feet now. That's what the Bible say. Don't be trying to read into it more than what it is. Now she just
You think she took up a baby and just laid at his feet in his bedroom?
They ain't had no bedrooms back then.
What you think? Okay, his chamber, which was still a bedroom.
What? When I read the Bible, I read as though Ruth, in the middle of the night, she took her little blanket. He was laying on the side of a stack of hay, and she took her little blanket, curled up on the side of him. Curled up on the side of them and just laid.
That is not what Naomi told her to do. Naomi said, go to his chambers. His chambers is his bedroom, boo. And lay at his feet.
She did. She took the cover off and put her cover on there and she just laid on the side of his feet, nah. Don't be trying to make this more than what it is. Because that's what the Bible say. That's Bible now.
She laid at his feet in his chambers. In the most vulnerable place that he is. Most vulnerable place.
Okay, so she kneeled down. She kneeled at his feet. Like, and put up blanket.
She laid at his feet. In his chambers. Naomi said, go to his chambers and lay at his feet. Now, why you trying to make this what it ain't. I don't know. But she said that. She said Shandrika. Do we not know that Naomi literally set Ruth up to be the first to present herself to Boaz? Boaz didn't approach her until she laid at his feet.
You're going to make me go back and read my Bible because I just don't believe
it. I read it too.
You're going to make me go back and read my Bible because I know this story like the back of my hand. But what I'm telling you is this woman, he was passed out after the party night. He had passed out over there by the straws in the hay.
He was not in the straws.
What version of the Bible you read? Because I'm reading the Passion Translation.
No straws in no hay. It's in James.
I'm telling you, he passed out by the stack of hay, and she came in the middle of the night with her blanket now, and she saw his feet uncovered.
It says, let me say, it's Ruth. This is NLT. Ruth. The third chapter. It says, Boaz is a close relative of ours. He's been very kind by letting you gather grain with his young women. Tonight, he will be winnowing barley at the threshing floor. Now, do as I tell you. Take a bath and put on perfume and dress in your nicest clothes. Then go to the threshing floor, but don't let Boaz see you until he has finished eating and drinking. Be sure to notice where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down there. He will tell you what to do.
I'm still trying to get the symbolism between.
So you think she didn't put on her nice clothes and her perfume and took a good bath just to be so strong?
She better have, because the Bible that I read said that now.
And it says he will tell you what to do.
You better not say that Ruth has slept with this man. You better not. You better not, because I'm going to have a whole come forward and I'm going to read my Bible. Because I got the Passion Translation.
It says, after Boaz, we're going to skip to verse 7. After Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he lay down at the far end of the pile of grain and went to sleep. Then Ruth came quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Around midnight, Boaz suddenly woke up and turned over. He was surprised to find a woman just lying at his feet. Who are you? He asked. I am the servant Ruth, she replied. Spread the corners of your cover over me. For you are my family redeemer. The Lord bless you, my daughter, Boaz exclaimed. You are showing even more loyalty now than you did before. For you have not gone after a young man, whether rich or poor. Now, don't worry about anything, my daughter. I will do what is necessary, for everyone in town knows that you are a virtuous woman. But while it's true that I am of your family's redeemer, there's another man who's more closely related to you than I am. Stay here tonight. In the morning, I will talk to him. If he's willing to redeem you, very well, let him marry you. But if he is not willing, then as sure as the Lord lives, I will redeem you myself. Now lie down here until morning.
What I'm saying is,
Ruth slid into Boaz's DMs and said what he was going to do and waited for his response.
That was after her being coerced. After her being discipled, as you like to say. She was discipled to do that. It wasn't Ruth on her own. She was being discipled to do that. Oh, okay.
Okay, so because she was being discipled to do it, that's the reason why she did it?
Yeah.
But she could have said no. She could tell Naomi, I don't want to do that.
Not after you done told this woman, I will go where you go and your God gonna be my God.
He could have been like, no, I don't feel comfortable with that.
I know you lying, Sean. Listen, you done said, okay, and told this woman. Evidently, this woman has become like a we already know that that's her mother-in-law, but it has shifted from mother-in-law to mother-in-love. Because if you tell someone that I make your God my God, oh, that's deep. That's deeper than a marriage certificate. And so that means that marriage basically had dead and gone because the husband was gone. Okay. And the
you're thinking out of customs now, right? So we gotta think about customs then.
No, I'm talking about customs then, because here's the thing. I could have did what Oprah did. I could have deuced at your behind and left you and went on about my way. But because of the relationship that we built, now I want to take it deeper and show you my loyalty to you outside of your son. So I'm going to make your God my God, and I'm going to follow you wherever you go. So that has to tell me that she has some type of, she trusts her wisdom in some kind of way. Yeah, so that's why she went over there and took off that doggone piece of hay off that man and put a blanket on his feet. I'm trying to help you now. This is how I read my Bible. Y'all ain't got to read it like I do, but I know what I had read because I read this story. I don't know how many times now because I thought for a season I was rude. But listen, that's neither here nor there. But what I'm telling you is that she was discipled to do that. We got women in this day and age that aren't being discipled in that way to get a husband. Hence why we have this feminism or femininity journeys and femininity coaches and all of this kind of stuff, because women aren't truly being discipled on how to actually be a wife or become a wife. Not in a godly sense anyway. So Ruth was discipled in that way. And that's my stance on it. Ruth was discipled. But you got us out here, us, trying to do the best we can and we winging it.
But is it because, A, we're not trying to be disciples and that's not what we gonna be, or people are not discipling us right? Or is it because we don't know what discipleship looks like? Are we so stuck? Oh, wait, let me say this. Are we so stuck on listen to that Derrick Jacksons or Kevin Samuels that we're using them for discipleship? And if so, how much is intoxicating? If that be the case, then we're not trying to be disciples, we're trying to be told.
And that's kind of what's wrong with this generation. Just give me the cheat code. Tell me what I got to do.
But no, baby, that ain't just a generational thing. It ain't generational. Because you just said that all those women said to you, he gotta come to me.
But right? That's Bible, Sean.
That is not Bible, girl. So you're talking about Proverbs 18 and 22, right? A man defines a wife, finds a good thing and attains favor from God, right?
If we should be looking at the Bible literally, then what are we doing?
Can we talk about Proverbs 18 and 22? Because you know I love this scripture. You know I love this scripture. Mm. And we so over our 40 minutes, y'all. We so sorry.
We ain't doing no part three
because
this guy
might have to. So, a man that findeth a wife finds a good thing and attains favor from God. So, you feel like the first part of that is, you know, finding her.
Yes. Absolutely. Go back. This is why I'm saying this.
Okay, I'm listening.
Even if you go back to, let's go back let's just, the way that men are built, they're built to hunt. They're built to find. They're built to seek. They're built for that. I'm not out here. I'm in my DNA. My DNA is not set up for me to find anything. My DNA is set up for me to receive and to nurture and to cultivate. That's my DNA. Now, even if he, I don't know, he's set up that way. And when he finds me, whatever he gives me, I cultivate, I nurture, I grow, I multiply. So that's why I have adapted, and I could be wrong. Until I get another revelation, I'm just going to be my stance. He going to have to come find me.
I'm so glad that you cleaned it up.
Listen, let me say this. So you can't be a helpmate if you're always in receiving mode.
You gonna have to clean that up because I got scripture. Come on.
You got scripture what? You can't be a helpmate if you always in receiving mode. So there's a scripture that says a wife wins the heart of her wavering husband.
My husband ain't wavering.
No, baby. There are times that you can be saved and there are times where your faith wavers. He ain't gonna always be secure. And so let's go back to that scripture. A man that finds the wife finds a good thing attains favor from God. The King James Version says there's a TH. So there's a continuation of being found. But in order to be found, then baby, you got to give him something to be looking for. So that don't mean that the finding stops because you said I do. That means you're constantly growing. You're constantly putting yourself in a place of growth. That means you're receiving and giving in order for him to find out new things about you and vice versa. Because if it's only one person find it in your marriage, y'all one side and y'all ain't no team. Even Eve found something great about Adam. Our biggest thing about Adam and being in a relationship with Adam is that he had a relationship with God. She found favor with God because she came from Adam. But even after they got kicked out the garden, they were still finding out a lot about each other. Now, just because we don't know the backstory, we don't know the whole story, doesn't mean that they stopped finding out about each other. Doesn't mean that they stop looking for each other just because they ain't in the garden no more. They had to look more for each other now than they did when they was in the garden. So what you looking at? What you got? And then we can't do Proverbs 31 because, baby, that's a whole nother.
No. Okay. I ain't going to Proverbs. Look, I'm going back to Genesis. Back to you. But what I was saying is Eve was created to help. Eve was created to receive. So when I say going back to why woman was created in the first place, she was created so that she could receive the vision, so she could multiply the vision and nurture the vision and cultivate the vision. Now, at the end of the day, that's in my DNA regardless.
I'm not saying that it's not in your DNA to do those things, but there are other things in your DNA that you have to tap into too. Because if it wasn't, right. So that's what I'm saying. If we stop there, then we're not living out our full DNA experience. Now that is foundational who we are, but that's not the totality of who we are. So
we ain't focused, but that's the thing, Sean. We ain't focusing on the totality.
I'm focused on totality.
And foundation, that's what I do, period.
Right, but everybody does that in different ways is what I'm saying to you. Cultivating.
That's what I do.
Right, so the foundation, yes, it's your DNA, and how you execute it is totally different. So that's what I'm saying to you. Yes, that may be how you bring it out, but that's me. I'm a giver and a receiver. So that means you give me vision, but I'm gonna give you insight on how that vision can be better. Because that's what a helpmate does. You see one part of it, going back to man being a hunter. When a man is a hunter, he's focused on one target. He's focused on a prey. That's why men are always focused on provision. And they think provision is paying bills, making sure there's a roof over your head, I can get some money every now and then, some money in the bank for you to do what you want to do. That's how they see provision. They're not looking at provision from an emotional standpoint. Very few men look at it from an emotional standpoint of provision. Provision emotionally for them, but not for their spouse. They don't look at provision as is a mental provision. They're not looking at it from there. That's why we have a lot of people who are getting divorced, because they don't know that there's an anxiety, there's a need for help, there's a need for you to carry some of the load, there's a need for team work, teamship, right?
You can't know what you just showed me, and this might be
Whitney.
You just showed me how my mind is you just showed me how I compartmentalize things
like a man,
like a man, and not it's not it has its pros and its cons. Mm-hmm. Because I say that because I started with one thing like a man. He focuses on one thing at a time. When you, like a woman, in a woman's mindset, they go 100 miles a minute. And you done went all the way to the future. And I'm just trying to focus on this one thing. And I have learned that, and maybe this is something that God revealed to me probably about a week or so ago. He revealed to me, not only because of the dynamic of my family or however that may go, I have had to step into that type of thinking to survive. But the more I enter into kind of your that mindset that you were speaking of just a few minutes ago, speaking from just a few minutes ago, I see why I see the error in my ways in relationships. Because sometimes me and Jess are focused on this one thing. Let me just get to know you first. And in my mindset, I didn't hop all the way to marriage. And this man just really just want to get to know me. And so that's why I've, in a sense, but I'm trying to lace my words with love, but in a sense, I've had to pump my brakes and slow all the way down and just retrain my mind to focus on one thing at a time. Because really, if everything is important, then nothing is important. And so I said all that to say this, that in I'm seeing the error in my ways. Mm. Not to say that your point of view is wrong, and not to say that my point of view is right. This is just my stance where I am in this point of life.
And that's okay. And I think that's okay. And I think that's why you're in that place of fighting out your femininity.
Yes.
Because you've had to be more male than female.
Bingo. I've had to have a more male approach in providing and protecting in the dynamic of my family. And I've done it for years. So because I've done it for years, it's going to take me a while before I revert back to a space and a place where it becomes more natural.
Correct. But I think your struggle is it's hard for you to see yourself in those other spaces because all your target is provision. And even your language says that, right?
Yeah.
When it comes to your kids, you're like, no, I got to make sure I get a house and this, this, and this.
Mm-hmm.
Not that my kids need to be emotionally healthy. Not that I need to be emotionally healthy. Yes, you're getting to that place where you know your emotional health is one. But even dealing with your feeling health, right? Your mental health, your emotional health, and your feeling health is just as great as provision as you making sure you got a roof on your head, or you get the house, or you get the car, or you make sure everybody got sales phones, or you make sure all the bills are paid. So now I went from stressing out about a bill to now I'm stressing about how we gonna eat and how we gonna do this. So now I'm not allowing God to be the Abba that I know him to be because I'm trying to be him and daughter at the same time.
Absolutely. And that's where the tug of war is constantly in my mind. And I'm constantly juggling. Do I be protective provider or do I be humble daughter?
But God is saying, right. But you just, let's go back to the foundation. You're a daughter first.
Okay.
You just said what was in your
You just told me
in your DNA, your foundational DNA, you're a receiver, right? So you're a daughter first. But you have literally fought that in order to not be. But then the question is, do you really want to be a daughter? Or do you really want to be what you want to be, what you want to be, how you want to be it? Because it's comfortable to you. Tell your truth.
Jesus answer or the therapy answer?
I need the therapist answer.
Oh.
Because we already know what the Jesus answer is.
I want to be both, okay? A little bit both. Can I rule with an iron fist and a velvet glove?
No, ma'am.
Oh, well, you said you wanted the therapist answer, because that's probably
but what thank I you. Thank you for your honesty, your truth. But now you have to really evaluate how much you trust God. Because if you're ruling in that space, and I'm not saying it towards you, I'm saying it towards the sister who feels the same way you do, who's a man in everything you're saying. I'm saying it towards the sister who's been hurt, and that's the only approach that has healed her. That's what I'm saying it too. So you can understand, like, maybe you're not getting the fullness of who and what you are as a woman, as a woman of God, as a daughter of the true and living God, because you've allowed yourself to be too got personality disorder. You got two people in one body. And only one of them is your true personality.
Mic drop. Bass drop!
Hey.
I never knew. Okay.
That's.
You know, on the remix.
I know.
Okay, let me come back. But yeah, that's where, and if anybody ever wanted to know what two worlds do Cynthia live in, those are the two worlds. The dynamic of provider, protector, and daughter, humble, and I sway between those. And so whomever the man of God who approaches me, huh? He will have to have great patience as I learn how to step out of one and into the other. Because all day, every day, I'm protective provider. But I'm learning how to be taken care of by God and rely on him to provide all of my needs according to his riches and glory. So, yeah. Well, that's interesting.
What are the takeaways?
Child, sit down somewhere and just wait for that man to come get you. That is my takeaway.
Okay. Well, praise God. My takeaway is, girl, be bold enough to trust God.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Sometimes being bold enough to trust God is sitting down somewhere waiting.
Sometimes it is, but sometimes it's opening your mouth and sliding into DMs.
Just depends on where the Holy Spirit leads you.
Even if the angels came in your dream and told you that, you still would be in denial.
I'd be like, angel?
You'd be like, Gillian, listen, I heard what you said, but I need another sign. Okay, this is what I need.
Okay.
I need you to do X, Y, and Z. All right. I saw you do that, right? Like, I saw you do that. I appreciate you. Thank you. Lord, I thank you for your servant, the angel that has come down to perform this mighty work. But I need you to do one more thing for me, bro, okay? Sis, I don't know. I don't know what you are. I mean, y'all are spirit beings. I don't know if y'all have sex, but you're having a whole conversation. But this is what I need you to do, okay? And you ask the Lord to give you the authority to do this. Okay, can you make sure there's like a meal in my bank account, right? And then if that meal in my bank account and I can tie it off that meal, right? And they know repercussions, I'm gonna be like, okay, God, then I go slide in DM. whole type of like, I know this got to be God, because this it, right?
It better be God if I'm going over there and doing all that, honey. Better be God.
Listen, that's her. So, yeah. So, my thing is, let the Holy Spirit lead. Listen, I'm sliding everybody's DM, but I just be like, God, I really like him. And then I just be like, okay, God, I'm about to do it. Like, here's what we want to say. God has given us everything we need in order to have a successful life, an abundant life. We just got to tap into it. That's just true faith. We got to tap into it. On that note, y'all, we sorry. We hope we made y'all laugh. I'm sure I got discombobulated from my explanation, because she makes me so discombobulated sometimes. We appreciate our international listeners. Our international listeners list is growing and glowing, and so we appreciate you. Y'all, thank you for making like episode 1, 13 and 14, like one of the top 3 episodes. Keep listening, keep sharing, keep liking, keep subscribing. For those who will be part of those soul sessions, we appreciate you. The slots are all taken, so I appreciate you. We hope that, we don't know what we're going to name this episode, but we're going to get it done. But we hope you tune in to another episode of Jesus for Sex. Bye, y'all.